Do you see what we are getting at? We are trying to show you that most of the great worries simply do not happen. We have something threatening us, we fear that something unpleasant is about to occur, we work ourselves up into a frenzy of fright, and we go about in such a state that we hardly know if we are on our head or our feet. But soon we find that our fears were unjustified, nothing happened. All the fright was for nothing. We have got a real mixture of adrenaline within us all boiled up ready to galvanize us into action. And then when the fright passes, the adrenaline has to be dissipated and it makes us feel quite weak, we might even shake with the reaction. Many of the world's famous men have said that their major worries never happened, but that they still worried about them and then found that they had been wasting time. If you are troubled, you are not tranquil. If you are agitated, you cannot have inner composure, and instead of being able to receive a telepathic message, you are radiating, broadcasting a dire message of utter chaos, of frustration, which not merely blanks out your own reception of telepathic messages, but blanks out receptions quite a distance around you. So, for your own sake, and for the sake of others, practice equanimity, keep calm, remember again that all these minor irritations are minor irritations and nothing more. They are sent to try you, and they certainly do. Practice composure. Practice seeing your difficulties in the correct perspective. It may be annoying to find that you cannot go to the cinema tonight, particularly as it may be the last night that film is shown, but it is not of earth-shaking importance after all. It is of importance that you learn how you progress, because the more you learn now, the more you take away with you to the next life, and the 139. More learning you take away to the next life, the less the number of times you have to come back to this doleful old world of ours. We suggest that you lie down, let yourself relax. Lie down and shuffle about a bit so that no muscle, no part of you is under tension. Lightly clasp your hands together and breathe deeply and regularly. As you breathe, think in rhythm with the breathing, peace, peace, peace. If you will practice that, you will find that a truly divine sense of peace and tranquility will steal over you. Once again, push out any intruding thoughts of discord, concentrating your thoughts upon peace, upon quietness and upon ease. If you think peace, you will have peace. If you think ease, you will have ease. We will say to you by way of concluding this lesson that if people would devote 10 minutes out of every 24 hours to this, the doctors would go bankrupt, for they would not have nearly so much illness to deal with. Lesson 21. We now come in this lesson to subjects which interest all of us, telepathy. You may have wondered why we have been stressing so much the similarity between the human brain waves and radio waves. In this lesson you may get more enlightenment on that subject. Here is figure 9. As you will see, we call it the tranquil head. It is called tranquil because we must be in that state before we can do telepathy or clairvoyance or psychometry. That is why in our last lesson we dealt, did you say ad nauseam? With those matters. We must be at ease within ourselves if we are going to progress. 140, figure 9, the tranquil head. Look at it this way. Would you expect to get a good symphony concert if you were in the vicinity of a boiler factory? Would you be able to enjoy classical music, or whatever form of music you favor, if people were hopping up and down around you screeching at the top of their voices? No, you would either switch off the radio and run screaming yourself, or you would tell everybody to be quiet. From the figure of the tranquil head you will see that there are different receptor areas of the brain. The area which corresponds roughly to the halo picks up telepathic waves. We will deal with the other waves later. First we are dealing with telepathy. When we are tranquil, we can pick up all sorts of impressions. They are merely the radio waves of other people coming in and being absorbed by our own receptive brain. You will agree that most people have hunches. Most people at some time or other have had a most strange impression that something was going to happen, or that they should take some specific course of action. People who know no better call it a hunch. Actually, it is merely unconscious, or subconscious, telepathy. That is, the person with the hunch was picking up a telepathic message sent out consciously or unconsciously by another person. Intuition is the same type of thing. It is stated, correctly, that, 141. Women possess more intuition than men. Women could be greater telepaths than the average man if women would not talk so much. The female brain is stated to be smaller than that of the male, but of course that does not matter in the slightest. A lot of rubbish has been written about the size of brains affecting the size of intelligence. On the same basis, we suppose, an elephant should be a genius compared to human standards. The female brain can resonate in harmony with incoming messages, and, again in radio terms, the female brain is a radio set which can be tuned into a station more easily than can the male brain. It is a matter of simplicity if you prefer that explanation. Do you remember the old radio set that your father or your grandfather had? There were knobs and dials all over the place, and it was almost a feat of engineering to tune in the local station. One had to turn up filament controls to make sure that the tubes were at the right voltage. One had to tune in with a pair of slow-motion knobs, often one had to move coils as well, and then there was the volume control. Your grandfather will tell you all about the first radios. Now one gets hold of a pocket radio, switches it on, moves a knob perhaps with one finger, and there is the program maybe from halfway across the world. The female brain is like that, it is easier to tune than is the male brain. We would also remind you of identical twins. It is an established fact that identical twins are nearly always in contact with each other, no matter how far they may be apart physically. You can have one twin in North America and another twin in South America, and you will get reports of happenings occurring to the pair of them simultaneously. You will get reports that each knows what the other is doing. That is because these two came from a single cell, came from a single egg, and so their brains are like a pair of carefully matched radio receivers or transmitters. They are in tune without any effort at all on the part of the owners. Now you will want to know how you can do telepathy, for you can do it with practice and with faith, but no matter how much practice, no matter how much faith, you will not do it unless you have our old friend inner composure. The best way to practice is, tell yourself for a day or two that on such and such a day at 142, such and such a time you are going to make your brain receptive so that you can pick up, first general impressions, and then definite telepathic messages. Keep repeating to yourself, keep affirming to yourself, that you are going to succeed in this. On the predetermined day, preferably in the evening, retire to a private room. Make sure that the lights are low, and that the temperature is just comfortable for you. Then recline in the position which you have found to be the most comfortable. Have in your hand a photograph of the person to whom you are most attached. Any light should be behind you so that it shines on or illuminates the photograph. Breathe deeply for a few minutes, and then clear your mind of all extraneous thoughts. Think of the person whose photograph is in your hands, look at the photograph. Visualize the person standing in front of you. What would this person say to you? What would you reply? Frame your thoughts. You can, if you like, say speak to me, speak to me. Then wait for a reply. If you are composed, if you have faith, you will get some stirring inside your brain. First you will be inclined to put it down to imagination, but it is not imagination but reality. If you dismiss it as idle imagination, you will dismiss telepathy. The easiest way of acquiring telepathic ability is to work with a person whom you know very well, and with whom you are on the most intimate terms of friendship. Both of you should discuss what you are going to do. You should both agree that on such and such a date at such and such a time you will get in touch with each other telepathically. Both of you should retire to rooms. It does not matter how far apart. It can even be a continent apart, for distance is no object. But you must make sure that you make allowance for any difference in time. For example, Buenos Aires may be 2 hours ahead of New York in time. You have to allow for that, otherwise your experiment will fail. You also have to agree who is going to transmit and who is going to receive. You can do it easily if you synchronize your watches, and go by Greenwich Mean Time, which will obviate any possibility of confusion. One can obtain Greenwich Mean Time almost anywhere, and if you decide to transmit first, and then after 10 minutes, neither more nor less, but a definite fixed interval of time, your friend will transmit back. The first two or three times you will not necessarily succeed, but practice makes perfect. 143. Remember that a baby cannot walk at the first attempt, the baby had to practice and fall down and crawl. You will not succeed necessarily at the first attempt at telepathy, but again practice makes perfect. When you can send a telepathic message to a friend, or receive one, then you are well on the way to getting the thoughts of others, but you can only get their thoughts provided that you have no evil intent toward them. We are going to make one of our famous digressions here. You can never, never, never use telepathy or clairvoyance or psychometry to do harm to another person, nor can any other person do harm to you by these means. It has often been stated that if an evil person were telepathic or clairvoyant, they would be able to blackmail people who had made some slight mistake, but that emphatically is not the case. It is impossible. You cannot have light and darkness at the same time in the same place, and you cannot use telepathy for evil. That is an absolutely inexorable law of metaphysics. So, do not be alarmed, people do not read your thoughts to do you harm. No doubt many would like to, but they cannot do so. We mentioned that because of the fear that so many people have that a person by telepathy can know all the most secret fears and phobias. It is true that the purest minded people could pick up your thoughts, could see from your aura what your weak points were, but the pure person would not for one moment contemplate doing such a thing, and the impure person permanently lacks the ability. We suggest that you practice telepathy with a friend, or if you cannot get a friend to cooperate, relax as we have said and let thoughts come into you. You will find first that your head is a buzz of conflicting thoughts. It is similar to when you go into a crowd of people. There is a babble of conversation, just a horrible noise, everyone seems to be talking at the same time at the top of their voices. But if you try, you can single out one voice. You can do that also in telepathy. Practice, you must practice and have faith, and then, provided you keep calm about it all and have no intention of hurting any other person, you will be able to do telepathy. From our figure 9 you will see that the rays from clairvoyant sight come from the location of the third eye, and as you will observe they are of a completely different frequency from that of telepathy. It is in some, 144, ways the same type of thing giving different results. One might say that when you get telepathic messages you listen to radio, when you get clairvoyant messages you see television pictures, and often in glorious technicolor. If you want to see clairvoyantly you will need a crystal or something which shines. If you have a diamond ring with one stone that is as good as a crystal, and certainly it is less tiring to hold. Here again you will have to recline comfortably, and you will have to make sure that the lighting is of a very low order indeed. Let us assume, though, that you have invested in a crystal, you are resting completely at ease in your room in the evening. Your curtains or blinds have been drawn to cut out any direct rays of light. The room is so dark that you can hardly see the outline of the crystal. It is so dark that you certainly cannot see any pinpoints of light in the crystal. Instead, the whole thing is hazy, almost not there. You know that you are holding it, you know that you can see something. Keep looking into the crystal without trying to see anything. Look into the crystal as if you were looking in the far, far distance. This crystal will be just a few inches from you, but instead you have to look miles. Then you will see the crystal gradually begin to cloud, you will see white clouds form, and the crystal, instead of being apparently a clear glass, will appear to be full of milk. Now is the critical time. Do not jerk, do not let yourself become alarmed, as so many people do, because the next stage, the whiteness rolls away like curtains being drawn away to disclose a stage. Your crystal has gone, vanished, and you see instead the world. You are gazing down as a god on Olympus might look upon the world. You see perhaps the clouds with a continent beneath. You have a sensation of falling, you might even involuntarily jerk forward a little. Try to control this, because if you do jerk you will lose the picture and have to start all over again some other night. But supposing you did not jerk, then you will have the impression that you are speeding down and the world is getting larger and larger. You will find continents sweep beneath you, and then you will come to a halt at some particular spot. You might see a historical scene, you might even appear to land in the middle of a war and find a tank charging at you. There is nothing to be 145 alarmed at in this, because the tank cannot hurt you, it will go right through you and you will not know a thing about it. You may find that you are seeing apparently through the eyes of some other person. You cannot see the person's face, but you can see all that he or she would see. Again, do not be alarmed, do not allow yourself to jerk, you will see quite clearly, quite plainly, and although you do not actually hear a sound, you will know everything that is being said. So it is that we see in clairvoyance. It is a very easy thing, provided, again, that you have faith. Some people do not actually see a picture, some people get all the impressions without actually seeing. This often happens to a person who is engaged in business. We can have a very clairvoyant person indeed, but if that person be engaged in business or commerce, then often there is a skeptical attitude which makes it difficult to actually see the picture. The person subconsciously thinks that such a thing cannot be, and as clairvoyance will not be completely denied, the person gets impressions somewhere in the head which are, nevertheless, as real as are the pictures. With practice you can see clairvoyantly. With practice you can visit any period of the world's history and see what that history really was. You will be amused and amazed when you find most frequently that history was not as written in the history books, for history as written reflects the politics of the time. We can see how that happens in the case of Hitler Germany and Soviet Russia. Now let us deal with psychometry. Psychometry can be termed seeing through the fingers. Everyone has had some form of this experience. For instance, take a heap of coins and get some other person to hold just one of the coins for a few minutes. Then if that coin is put back with the others, you will be able to pick the coin because it will be warmer than the rest. This, of course, is just an elementary little thing which has no place off the stage. By psychometry we mean the ability to pick up an article and to know its origin, what has happened to it, who has had it, and the person's state of mind. You can often get a sort of psychometry when you feel that an article has been in happy surroundings or in unpleasant surroundings. 146. You can practice psychometry by enlisting the aid of a sympathetic friend. This is how you should set about it. Assuming that your friend is sympathetic to you and wants to see you progress, we suggest that you get him to wash his hands and then pick up a stone or pebble. That also should be washed with soap and water and well rinsed. Then your friend should carefully dry his hands and the stone, and then, holding the stone in his left hand, he should think strongly for about a minute. He should think of one thing. It can be of the color black, or white, or good temper, or bad temper. It does not matter what he thinks, as long as he thinks strongly of one subject for about a minute. Having done that, he should wrap the stone in a clean handkerchief or a paper handkerchief, and hand it to you. You should not unwrap it then, but wait until you are alone in your contemplation room. We are going to digress again. We said with the left hand, and let us first explain the reason. Under esoteric law, the right hand is supposed to be the practical hand, the hand devoted to the things of the world. The left hand is the spiritual hand, that which is devoted to metaphysical things. Provided that you are normally right-handed, then you will get greater results by using your left esoteric hand for psychometry. If you are one of those who are left-handed, then you will use your right hand in the metaphysical sense. It is to be observed that you can often get results with the left hand when you cannot with the right hand. When you are in your room of contemplation, you will need to wash your hands very carefully, and then rinse them before drying them, because if you do not do that, you will have other impressions on your hands, and you want one impression only for this experiment. Lie down, make yourself comfortable, and in this case it doesn't matter how much or how little light there is, you can have every light on or you can be in complete darkness. Then unwrap the stone or whatever it was, and pick it up with your left hand, see that it rolls into the center of your left palm. Do not think about it, do not bother about it, just try to let your mind go blank, think about nothing. You will next experience a very slight tingling in the left hand, and then you will get an impression, probably what your friend was trying to put over to you. You might also pick up the impression that he really thinks you are engaging upon a crackpot. 147. stunt. If you practice this, you will find that provided you are tranquil, you can pick up most interesting impressions. When your friend is tired of assisting, you do it on your own. Go out somewhere, get hold of a pebble which has not been touched by man so far as you know. This is easy if you are by a seashore, or you can dig up a stone from the earth. By practicing, you will have truly remarkable results. You can, for example, pick up a pebble and know about the time when it was part of a mountain, how it was swept down by a river and out into the sea. The information that one can pick up by psychometry is truly amazing, but again, it needs a lot of practice, and you must keep your mind tranquil. It is possible to pick up a letter which is still in an envelope and to be aware of the general trend of the contents. It is also possible to pick up a letter written in a foreign language, and by running the fingertips of the left hand lightly over the surface, you will pick up the meaning of the letter even though you do not understand the individual words. This is quite infallible with practice, but never do it just to prove that you can do such a thing for the benefit of other people. You may wonder why people will not prove that they are telepathic, that they are clairvoyant, etc. The answer is that when you are telepathic, you have to have favorable conditions. You cannot do telepathy when you have someone trying to prove you wrong, because you are picking up waves radiated by other people, and if you have a person close to you who is trying to prove you wrong, trying to say that you are a fake, then you will find that his radiations, perhaps of dislike and doubt and distrust, are so strong that they blank out weaker waves from afar. We recommend that if anyone asks you to give proof, you tell them that you are not interested, you know, and what you know you do not have to prove to other people. We would also like to say something about clairvoyants who live in back streets and make money therefrom. It is a fact that many women have great clairvoyant abilities off and on, that is, it is not constant, it cannot be switched on at will. There is frequently the case that a woman who is most talented at clairvoyance in brief flashes will astound her friends with true prophecies. They will suggest that she ought to take it up professionally. The poor deluded woman will do so. She will charge varying sums of money for her services. She cannot tell a client that, 148, today she does not feel that her clairvoyant ability is working, and so, in one of her blank times, she makes up something. She is usually a good psychologist, and as she gets into the habit of making up things, she will find that her clairvoyant ability will recede. You should never take money for reading the crystal or reading the cards. If you do, you will lose the ability to see clairvoyantly. You should never try to prove that you can do this or that, because if you do, you will be fairly blasted by the brain waves of those who disbelieve in you. Oftentimes, it is better not to admit how much you know. The more normal, the more natural you appear, the more you will pick up. We say never give proof, because if you try to give proof, you will be really inundated by doubt waves from others who can cause great harm to you. We ask you to practice and practice, and cultivate inner composure, without which you cannot do any of these things. With inner composure and faith, you can do anything. Lesson 22. Before we go on to our lesson proper, we should like to draw your attention to an item of very great interest which has just been drawn to our attention. It is of particular interest because throughout this course we have been talking so much about the electric currents of the body, and saying how currents travel along the nerves to activate the muscles. Now, in Electronics Illustrated for January 1963, page 62, there is this fascinating article with the title of Russia's Amazing Electronic Hand. Professor Irene Kobrinsky is a doctor of engineering in the USSR Academy of Sciences, and it seems that he with his assistants have been doing research into the matter of prosthetics, artificial limbs. Up to the present, the effort involved in making an artificial arm move at all has been a very tiring process for the wearer. Now, however, in Russia there has been developed an artificial arm which is electrically operated. At the time of the amputation, two special electrodes are put on the end of certain nerves, the nerves which normally would move the 149 muscles of the arm, and when the stump has healed so that an artificial arm may be fitted, the currents coming from the brain down the nerves and which would normally move, say, fingers and thumb, are passed on to the artificial arm where the very minute body currents are amplified greatly so that relays may be operated and the fingers and thumb of the prosthetic appliance can work as did the natural finger and thumb. It is stated that with these artificial arms it is possible to write a letter. An illustration in Electronics Illustrated shows a person with an artificial arm holding a pencil between fingers and thumb, and actually writing. You may have been a little tired of our discourse about electric currents, brain waves, etc., and that is why we mentioned this particular incident, which really is most illuminating. We can visualize a future when all artificial appliances will be controlled by the biochemical currents. Now, having dealt with that, we want to talk about emotions, because as we think, so we are. If we think too much of sadness, then we start a process which results in certain of our body cells becoming corroded. Too much sadness, too much misery, can bring on liver complaints or gallbladder complaints. Consider this: a man and a woman married for a long time are very, very attached to each other. The man suddenly dies, and the woman who is now a widow is overcome with the desolation of her loss. She becomes prostrate with sadness, she becomes pale and may even waste away. Often there will actually be some severe physical illness. Worse, there may even be a mental breakdown. The cause of this is that under the violent stimulus of such a loss, the brain generates a high current of electricity which floods through the body, penetrating all organs and all glands, and creating considerable back pressure. This inhibits the normal activities of the body. The sufferer may become numb, hardly able to think, hardly able to move. Frequently, the excess stimulus at lacrimal glands will cause floods of tears because these glands act as a safety valve. We get a similar sort of thing with the wrong voltage when we put, let us say, a 3.5 bulb in a 6-volt torch. Activity is very bright for a few moments and then the bulb blows out. The human body can blow out too, but that will result in trance, or coma, or even insanity. Undoubtedly, all of us have seen an animal which is very frightened. 150, possibly the animal has been chased by some larger fierce animal. The fugitive will not eat while it is frightened, and if one should be able to force that animal to eat, the food would not digest. All the gastric secretions which normally break down the food cease when an animal is frightened. Actually, the secretions dry up. So, any intake of food is completely and utterly against the nature of the animal. Very highly excited persons, or a person who is very depressed, should neither be persuaded nor forced to eat, for although no doubt such persuasion would be kindly meant, it would not be in the interests of the sufferer. Sorrow, or any deep emotion, brings a complete change in the chemical processes of the body. Uncertainty or sorrow can completely color a person's outlook, make a person unbearable, make a person impossible to get on with. When we say color a person's outlook, we mean just that, for one's chemical secretions really do alter the colors or the general trend of colors which one sees. We all know that those who are in love see the world through rose-tinted spectacles, while those who are depressed and weary see the world through a definitely grayish tinge. If we are to make progress, we must cultivate equanimity of temperament. We must attain such a balance of emotion that we are neither wildly excited nor unduly depressed. We must make sure that those brain waves which we talked about have no high peaks and no deep valleys. The human body is designed to function in a certain manner. All the fits and starts to which it is subjected in so-called civilization does definite harm. Proof of this can be seen in the number of businessmen who have gastric ulcers or heart attacks, or who become jumpy. Again, this is the result of high fluctuations of electricity creating that back pressure which we mentioned previously. The back pressure suffuses various organs and definitely interferes with their normal functioning. For instance, a person with ulcers, he does not take in food, and so the gastric acids become stronger and stronger, until in the end they literally burn a hole through him. It follows, then, that those who want to progress and do telepathy, clairvoyance, psychometry, and all the rest of it, must be sure indeed that they cultivate evenness of temperament. It can be cultivated. Frequently a person will become moody, depressed, and uncertain. 151. The person will be difficult indeed to live with. Any incident which another person would not notice, or, noticing, would laugh off, would irritate this nervous and moody person quite unbearably, and might even bring on an attack of hysteria or simulated suicide.